This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Our scripture is found in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 7. It says, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, by the way, on this morning, amen, on this morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?' And when they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away." And I just want to remind you folks, the stone was not rolled away so he could get out. It was rolled away so they could see in. Walls and rooms couldn't keep him out. Rocks and tombs couldn't keep him in. He went through the stone. Amen? He went through it. It was very great. "And entering into the sepulcher, they saw a young man sitting on the right side. He was an angel, and he was clothed in a long white garment. And they were scared, they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. But he said, I just want you to know, he is risen." "He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell the disciples." But make sure you not only tell the disciples, tell Peter also, "that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said unto you." Let us pray. God, we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. Lord, we ask for your anointing. We ask for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit upon men, women, boys, and girls. And God, for a fruitful harvest, we thank you in advance and we praise you. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about the greatest comeback ever. The greatest comeback ever. I'm really not a hobby person. I just don't have a lot of hobbies. But there was a time in the life of our church that the congregation decided that Pastor Benny needs a hobby. He needs a meaningful distraction. He needs something that Pastor can enjoy. And I remember one year on my birthday, I looked at the side door, and at the side door, they was rolling out something. They were rolling out a golf bag. And inside the golf bag, there were golf clubs and they had golf balls. And they said, "Pastor Benny, we want you to take up golf. It will be a meaningful distraction. It will be very good for you, Pastor." And they said, "We don't want you to learn the wrong way. We want you to learn the proper way. So we've hired a professional. And what he's going to do, he's going to work with you. And you're going to be able to be a good golfer because you're going to learn from day one how to do it right." And listen to me closely. I spent hours with that golf pro. He worked with me. We worked and we worked and we worked and we worked. And finally, he said to me, he said, "Pastor, I've reached a conclusion. I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, I have diagnosed you. I've watched you." And he said, "Here's the issue. I know what your problem is." I said, "Tell me about my problem, because that way we can fix it." He said, "Here's the problem." He said, "Pastor, you're standing too close to the ball." And then he said these words, "After you hit it." And I immediately realized this wasn't my game. This wasn't my game. I'm not a golfer. But it didn't change the fact, folks, just like you. This week, the Augusta Masters tournament's going on. That beautiful, beautiful course. And I was still somewhat enamored with seeing golf courses. And so last year, for the very first time, I've pastored here 33 years, but it took me 33 years to finally get to Augusta and to see the Augusta golf course one time. Somebody said, "Pastor, you need to go." I said, "Why do I need to go?" And they said, "Because that's what heaven's going to look like." I don't know about that. I believe it's going to be better than that. But nevertheless, I went. And I followed a player. His name was Tiger Woods. So when Tiger would play a hole, I would go to that hole, and then I would follow Tiger to the next hole because I was just intrigued by this great golfer, Tiger Woods. Because what Tiger didn't know is I had studied him. I knew that in 2009, he had a terrible car crash. I knew his wife was in the car with him, and literally she crawled out a window to save her life. I knew after that, Tiger admitted to multiple affairs. He said, "No, it's not just an affair issue." He said, "I've got an addiction. I need to go into a clinic. I literally need professional help." When all that surfaced, his sponsors said, "We no longer want our name associated with yours. So all of his sponsors literally dropped him overnight. In 2010, he went through an ugly divorce because of his actions. After that, 4 major back surgeries. After 4 major back surgeries, again, more DUI arrest. He became addicted to prescription drugs, pain medication. I knew that man's story, but I also knew that Augusta National's golf course in 2019, he won the Masters again. He won the Masters, and the headline in the news was these words: "It's the greatest comeback ever." But ladies and gentlemen, when I heard those words, I said, "I beg to differ." I said, "I beg to differ. It's not the greatest comeback ever." Because see, Jesus Christ went to a cross at Golgotha. He was suspended 6 hours on a cross, literally taken down from the cross, buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, while hell had a party, he arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. It was the greatest comeback ever. The greatest comeback ever. And you hear me, friends, because of that comeback in your life and in your life, and in my life, we can have a comeback. No matter what your situation, because of the greatest comeback ever, you can have a comeback. Now let me tell you a story. A story about a disciple. His name was Peter. He was a fisherman. And one day, Pete, the big fisherman, said to Jesus, he said, "Jesus, I want to tell you something." He said, "All the disciples may forsake you. Thomas, Bartholomew, James, and John, they may all cut tail and run, but there's one you can depend on. It's me. And Jesus said, Pete, get real. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And folks, if you really study Peter's life, it tells us some things about him. The Bible says he was following the Lord, but he was following the Lord afar off. You know what's a lot of people's problem? You're trying to have it both ways. You're trying to have your foot in the world and your foot in Jesus. You're trying to have your foot in the world and your foot in church. You're trying to straddle a fence, but there's only one problem. There's no fence to straddle. See, what you're trying to do, you're trying to follow the Lord afar off. See, church is not a priority. It's just a possibility. Reading your Bible is not a priority. It's just a possibility. Having prayer time, it's not a priority. It's just a possibility. If something gets real bad, you might pray a little bit. See, you got to understand, Peter was following the Lord, but he was following afar off. And then, folks, he goes and he gets by this fire. He gets with the wrong crowd. You tell me who you're associating with, and I'll tell you your future. Look here, you just show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. Because, see, winners associate with winners, and losers associate with losers. You say, Pastor, you don't know my future. Oh, yeah, I do. Just show me your friends, and I'll be able to tell you your future. He got with the wrong crowd. See, if you hang around a barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. He got with the wrong crowd. And then before long, he was using language that would make a sailor blush. He was cussing, using profanity. And they asked him on three different occasions, hey, by the way, you know this guy, don't you? On three different occasions, he said, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And when he did that, ladies and gentlemen, literally the cock started crowing. And the Bible says Peter went out and it was night. It was dark in his soul. He had forsaken the Lord. He had denied the Lord. He had failed God. And the Bible says he went out and it was night. It was dark. You say, Pastor, why did you tell that? Now we've got to go to the story and it will all make sense. In Mark chapter 16, on this morning, by the way, women were bringing these spices to anoint the body of Jesus. Why did they do that, Pastor? Because Jewish bodies weren't embalmed when they died. And they loved the Lord. Mary Magdalene said, get real, he cast seven devils out of me. He cast seven devils out of me. He's been so good to me. I'm not going to deny him. So she had the spices and she was going to anoint his body. But she got there and there was no body. And the angel said to her, don't be scared. He's not here. He's risen. All that remains is grave clothes and bloodstains. He's risen. And then the angel said, by the way, you go tell the disciples he's risen, but wait, you also tell Peter. The one who denied him, the one who failed him, he said, you be sure and tell Peter. Now look, folks, if I'd been that angel, and I'm sure not an angel, but if I'd been that angel, it would have been words of antagonism. What do you mean, Pastor? Here's what I would have said if I'd been that angel. You go tell Herod. You go tell Pilate. They crucified him. But you go tell them. I want them to know he has risen. Maybe it would have been words of appreciation. Maybe I would have said, you go tell his mama, Mary, that he's risen. But wait. It was words of affection. You go tell Peter. What was he saying? You let Peter know I still love him. You let Peter know because he's failed that I still care about him. You let Peter know because of Easter that Peter still matters to me. There's four quick things I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is this. Because of Easter, a comeback is possible. Because of Easter, a comeback is possible. You said, but preacher, you can't unscramble an egg. I agree. But God can take a scrambled egg and he can make a delicious omelet out of it. See, there was a man in the Bible in Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. He murdered another man. He killed him and buried him in the sand. His name was Moses. But in Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God said, Moses, you're the man that I want to use to lead my children out of Egypt. There was a man by the name of David. And in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, it says he was a man after God's own heart. But wait, he lied. He committed adultery. He murdered. But the Bible says in Acts 13 and 22, even after all this, God said he's still a man after my own heart. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a comeback is possible. No matter what's happened in your life, a comeback is possible. Not long ago, I was preaching with a bishop at a conference. We've spoken at the same conference several times, named Bishop Dale Bronner. And we was in a little holding area. Bishop Bronner said to me, do you have grandchildren? I said, not yet. Not yet. But I want to call those things that are not as if they were. Amen? I truly believe grandchildren is the blessing God gives you for not killing your children. So I said, not yet. You know what I'm talking about. You have teenagers and you understand why animals eat their young. Yes, you do. He said, Brother Benny, the other day I was in my office and he said my two granddaughters was in there and I only had one crayon. And he said, I gave it to one and she was coloring and said in a few moments she was in my lap. I said, why was she in your lap? He said, she was in my lap crying, Pastor, because the crayon had broken. And he said, when the crayon broke, I did something. I gave her a piece and I gave her sister a piece. And I said to him, think about this. You didn't have anything to share until it was broken. And folks, we don't have anything to share until we're broken. We don't have anything to share until we're broken. You said, see, the life that pleases God is often painful and difficult. And I doubt that God can bless somebody greatly until he hurts them deeply. Because you got to understand, we can't share anything until we're broken. And then he said to those two little girls, start doing your work. And he said, you know what, Pastor Benny? They started coloring. And you know what I said to those girls? I said, what's that, Bishop? He said, I said to them, a broken crayon still colors. A broken crayon still colors. You said, Pastor, I've messed up relationally. You don't understand. A broken crayon still colors. Pastor, I've messed up professionally. A broken crayon still colors. I've messed up occupationally, Pastor Benny. A broken crayon still colors. Listen, a broken pot releases more water. Amen? Here's what I know. Because of Easter, a comeback is possible. But I'll tell you something else. Because of Easter, a comeback is personal. It's personal. Now, stick with me on this. The first time Jesus met Simon Peter was in John 1 and 42. And he said to him in John 1 and 42, he said, wait, your name is no longer going to be Simon. Your name's going to be Cephas or Peter. See, the word Cephas or Peter means a boulder. It means a rock. It means strong. And what Jesus was saying, you're Peter now because I see potential in you. I see you as committed. I see you as steadfast. I see you as strong. I see you as a leader. I see what you can become. But wait. Peter denied him. Now let's go back to Mark 16, verse 7. If I had been the angel, I would have said, you tell the disciples and Simon. I would have gouged him right there. I would have said, that will be an opportunity to gouge. He denied me when I needed him most. When I needed him most, he turned his back on me. You go tell the disciples and Simon. But what did he say? You go tell the disciples and Peter. What was he saying? Get this, you come up real close. Even though Peter has failed, I still believe in him. Even though Peter has messed up, I still believe in him. Even though Peter made some bad decisions, I still believe in him. What's God saying to you today? Even though you failed, even though you've messed up, even though you've made some bad decisions, God is saying, I still believe in you. There's power in believing in somebody. A boy on a basketball team was cut when he was in high school, cut from the high school basketball team. You might know his name, Michael Jordan. Now there's a coach that's looking for a job. He goes home and he says, Dad, I've been cut. And his dad said, no, you've got great talent. Son, you're gonna be a great player. I believe in you. Thomas Edison was sent home from school by a teacher who said, he said he's too dumb to learn. I was told I was too dumb to learn. I was told I was too dumb to learn. Thomas Edison goes home and his mother said, you're not too dumb to learn. Those teachers just don't know how to teach you. A man wrote a book. 30 publishers turned his book down. 30 publishers turned the book down. And he got so frustrated, he took his manuscript and he threw it in the trash can and said to his wife, I forbid you from getting it out. She picked the trash can up, put it in her car, drove down to meet with a publisher and said to the publisher, I can't get what's in this trash can, but you can get what's in the trash can. And if you'll pull what's out of the trash can and read it, it's gold. That publisher pulled it out of the trash can, and Norman Vincent Peale is so glad he did pull it out of the trash can, because it was the book, The Power of Positive Thinking, that sold 15 million copies up to this date and is in 40 different languages because Norman Vincent Peale had somebody who believed in him. You said, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't have anybody to believe in me. Yes, you do. Jesus, the Lamb of Glory, believes in you. Jesus, the Lamb of Glory, believes in you. See, get this, a comeback, it's possible. A comeback, it's personal. But a comeback is private. A comeback is private. See, Peter reached the point, he said, I'm not gonna do any more ministry. I'm not going to preach anymore. I'm not traveling anymore with this guy, Jesus. I want to go back to my old lifestyle. You say, preacher, how do you know he went back to his old lifestyle? Because he went back to the Sea of Galilee. He went back to the Sea of Galilee. He went back to fishing. He said, I'm just going to go back to my old lifestyle. See what happens with many of us, folks. Let me tell you how you can tell if you're getting away from God. When you go back to your old lifestyle, you're not doing everything that you used to do, but you're doing a lot of the things that you used to do before you came to know Christ. If you're not awful careful, you'll drift back into that old lifestyle. You'll go back to the Sea of Galilee. But here's what's amazing. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas. Wait. Look here. He goes back to his old lifestyle. And you know what Jesus says? Get that. Oh, this is good. I'm going to go get him. He left the 99. He left the 99 to get that one lost lamb. No, I'm going to go back to where he's at. You hear me, folks. You said, Pastor, when somebody falls in the church, when somebody messes up, when somebody has a life tragedy, when somebody makes bad decisions, what should the attitude of the church be? According to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, we are to hunt them. We are to help them and we are to hold them up. We are to hunt them. We are to help them and we are to hold them up. The one that we can help the most is the one that's down the lowest. A comeback, it's possible. It's personal. It's private. But I close. A comeback is profitable. A comeback is profitable. See, Jesus went to the Sea of Galilee and he got him because the fallen can't initiate restoration. He goes to the Sea of Galilee and Peter makes things right with Jesus. And then here's what he does, folks. On Pentecost, he preaches and 3,000 are saved. He becomes the leader of the apostles. He writes, when you open your Bible and you read 1st and 2nd Peter, he wrote that. When it came to time for him to die, they said, we're going to crucify you. He said, that's okay. But he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord was. You crucify me upside down. Upside down. Let me tell you something, folks. God's still got a plan for your life. You say, preacher, I've messed up. God's still got a purpose for your life. One of my favorite scriptures is found in Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, go down there to the potter's house. And Jeremiah gets down there and the potter's got pottery on the potter's wheel. And there's a piece that while he's working on it, it's messed up. The potter's God. And folks, the pottery's us. We're the clay. And while he's working on it, it's messed up. But look what the Bible says. But the jar he was making, it didn't turn out like he wanted, as he hoped. I'm sorry, folks. I was just having a moment of all the times in my life that I didn't turn out like he wanted. I was just having a moment in my life. But thank God, he didn't throw the clay away.
Amen.
thank God he didn't throw the clay away, but he took that clay and he put it on the potter's wheel and he molded it again. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what God wants to do with us. I was thinking this week, I was looking back through and I saw something that I used 25 years ago and I haven't used it since, I don't think. I started researching and I realized I've spoken, folks. From the time I started preaching, it seems like I've preached just about every day or night somewhere. But I've spoken over 10,000 times. You say, well, Pastor Benny, that'd be neat. I'd like to do that. No, you got to understand. In order to speak 10,000 times, first of all, you've got to be old. But I went back and I found a quote that you tweeters, you may want to use this, that I used 25 years ago. I said, people forget who we are, and they remember what we've done. But God remembers who we are, and he forgets what we've done. See, every person needs a comeback. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But wait, it doesn't end there. Thank God, God doesn't leave us there. Thank God, God doesn't leave us there. Thank God that Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love toward us by dying on the cross. But wait, it only gets better, because Romans 4:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses. Ladies and gentlemen, that is to say, he was placed on the cross for our sin. But glory be to God. The Bible says he was raised again. He was raised again. He was raised again. Wait. For our justification. What does that big word justification mean? What does it mean, Pastor? It means just as if you never sinned. Just as if you never sinned. Friend, when you take Jesus, it's just as if you never sinned. Because he gets your sin and you get his righteousness. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. You come up real close to me. Today, you can have the greatest comeback of your life. Today, you can have the greatest comeback of your life. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Look here. I met a nephew this week for the very first time. His name is Embry. And I met him for the very first time. He spent the night at my house. He and his mom and dad, Embry. And Embry came to church and he sat right there on the front row. And I was met Embry for the very first time. And I shared the plan of salvation. I said, it's as easy as ABC. You just got to acknowledge. You got to believe that Christ died for your sin. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe Christ died for your sin and confess your sin to him. And when I was leading the people in the sinner's prayer, I looked at little Embry on the first front row. And he said, God, I'm a sinner. But I'm sorry for my sin. And I thought, Lord, in your omniscience, you brought him here just for that. But look, he brought you here today too. He brought you here today just for that. Just for that. So you could have the greatest comeback ever. God's dealt with your heart. God's moved in your spirit. God brought you here today so you could have the greatest comeback ever.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.